Welcome to the Far From Shore podcast, where it's all about the Kraken and the community they play in.
All right. Welcome back to another Far From Shore podcast, everyone.
I'm your host, Kimberly.
And I'm Brayson. Do we have to? I don't know. People already know who we are.
Yeah, we should always introduce ourselves because someone may be new.
I guess so.
Welcome if you are.
Yep. How are you doing?
I'm good. Weather's crazy in Colorado again. What was it? Hailing over the weekend, sunny, and then now it's going to be thunderstorming again for the rest of the...
Is it really going to be thunderstorming?
Yeah, for the night, I think. But yeah.
Tonight?
I think so. So it's back and forth.
I remember that hailstorm. I was in triage, and then it started happening. And then as soon as I saw it, I was like, dang it, I parked outside.
Yeah. I know this weather is really crummy for me because it, like, triggers migraines for me, but...
And then you're like, did you park the truck inside the garage or outside?
You're like, crap.
Outside. Yeah. I didn't know it was going to hail. Honestly, I don't even look at the... I don't look at the weather app anymore because I know it's just going to be unpredictable.
Yeah, it's hard to determine.
Yeah. But I'm doing good, too, I guess.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you're doing well.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking some Chardonnay.
You should just bring that up.
What am I drinking today?
Yeah. Like, shout out to that podcast, Quarantini.
Oh, yeah. This podcast will kill you.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. During the season, I like to drink some dark and stormies.
That's pretty delicious.
Delicious. With the Kraken rum specifically. Not sponsored, but you know.
Black spice rum, is that what they call it?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. I've only had it a handful of times, and the only times I had it was... Actually, I've only had it during the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got a couple of different editions. They've got a Kraken, like Seattle Kraken rum, and then they've got a Navy Kraken rum, and then... Yeah, just the regular standard, and then I think it's the black spice, but ironically, the black spice is like a gold label. So
what's that one that you have in the kitchen with the red label?
That's the black spice, I believe.
And what's the regular one?
Just regular.
Just regular rum?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Pretty sure. I might be getting the switch, but I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyways.
Anyways, big news this week.
Ooh.
You kind of know what it is?
I know what it is.
You know what it is?
Do you know what it is, listener?
You probably know what it is. And you probably already know because of the title of this video. Dave Hackstall was booted out. He's done. He's fired. He's gone. Unfortunate.
Out with the old, in with the new.
Yep. So Dave Hackstall has officially been fired from the Seattle Krakens. The news was released Monday that Ron Francis had relieved Hackstall of his head coaching duties. There was a couple of videos released of Francis speaking at the Iceplex and talked about his decision that he made. Basically, if you watch the video, Ron Francis goes on to say that he made the call to fire him on Sunday. So this last Sunday, that morning of Sunday, he was like, okay,
let's have a conversation.
Yep, that Monday. And then Monday they had the press release, which, honestly, how do they know? How does the press know that? Are they always on standby? Or?
Well, they probably have social media personnel that are like,
hey, media teams.
Hey, media, yeah.
Media any media teams that can make it come to the Iceplex.
Yeah, well, I thought from what I understood, and I could be wrong, but I, from my understanding, I thought he was saying that he made the decision and then had the conversation on Sunday, and then on Monday is when they released it to the public.
Mm.
So I think he was technically let go on Sunday. I could be wrong, but...
So any time between Sunday and that morning of Monday, he let everyone know that, or he let Hackstall know that he's going to be out. basically. Okay. So one of the key points that Francis brought up during the press conference is, although the team was riddled with injuries and illnesses, that the inconsistencies and losing streaks is what ultimately led to Hackstall's exit.
And he did say specifically too long of streaks. Like the streaks were too long.
Like the losing streaks?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We had one during just the beginning, right? I think it was, we were on a little baby losing streak in the beginning, won a couple, went on our longest one. Actually, they're, oh, and then there's another one, but I think both of the long ones were the same. Yeah, seven.
Yeah.
Those are long.
That's a lot.
So 14 games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, more than 14 games, but yeah, two sevens, but like pretty fairly back to back.
Yeah. And I don't think, like, I think some of the teams in the league, like, had, like, 20 losses and stuff like that. So, it's, like, less losing games like that. It's, like, terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I know that, of course, there are other teams that had longer losing streaks than we did this season, but still.
I wasn't actually expecting the news to be this early because we just had the exit interviews where Ron Francis was saying he's still having the interviews with the coaches for a performance.
Mm-hmm. And was going through the quote-unquote interview.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably better, though, that they kind of get this over with now so that then no one's, like, waiting around. And that gives the opportunity for Hackstall to go find a new job or, you know, and just for us to find a new coach as well.
Yeah, I feel like this couldn't be, like, this wasn't a big surprise to Hackstall. I feel like.
I don't think so either. I think he probably felt it coming.
Yeah. So there was a question asked during the press conference of who will be the next in line for a head coaching position, but Francis couldn't give a definite answer. So I think they're still looking, obviously.
Yeah.
They're going to be looking long and hard.
Hopefully not too long.
Yeah. So sad to see Hackstall leave, but unfortunately the same can't be said by some of the Kraken players. You know what I'm talking about.
No, say that again.
Some of the Kraken players voiced their opinions on how they didn't want to be with Hackstall.
Oh, yeah. I was very surprised by that. When I was reading the news that it happened.
Yeah, so there's an article floating around the World Wide Web right now on Kraken players voicing their opinions that they didn't want to be a part of the team if Hackstall was still the head coach.
And they specifically said it was key players that were making that comment.
Yeah.
Which is like, wow.
Yeah, there's some comments on Instagram right now. They're saying that, you know, Eberle, McCann, Bjorkstrand, maybe. It's all speculation, obviously, but key players. So.
Yeah, you and I kind of came up with a handful of players that we think are key players.
Dunn,
that
for sure. I almost guarantee it.
We said Gord. I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
I'm curious. I would love to know. Of course, they'll probably keep that hush-hush, but very curious who was having the tiffs with him. I don't know if it was even tiffs or if it would just, like, I wonder if it was bad chemistry or if it just was that, like, they weren't feeling motivated by him.
But you read the article. I kind of scanned through it. So what was the gist of it?
Just essentially saying that, I think it was a Sports Illustrated article, but yeah, just essentially saying that these key players were saying that they essentially refused to come back the following season if Hackstall was in leadership at the time. It was pretty short. It was just pretty much that. So essentially that was a major reason why Francis made that decision. And yeah.
Yeah. So that leaves the door open to how much baggage, you know, the Kraken have behind closed doors. So I'm sure it'll open the floodgates at least to some things. So if we look at the 22-23 season where we unexpectedly went to the round two of the playoffs, you wouldn't have known that there were, you know, some stuff stirring up.
Yeah. There was any, like I said, I'm just more curious. Like, I wonder if it was he mean? Were they not having good connections with him? Was he just quiet? I think that was in that Sports Illustrated article. It did say that he is a very quiet coach and that your team is going to exude what your head coach's personality is. And so because Haxtell is a very quiet and pretty like close-knit guy, that that came out as the team not being able to like express themselves, I guess. So I wonder, yeah, I'm just curious.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we'll even get the answer either, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so now the decision, you know, decision's been made. Now we're looking forward to the person that's going to be up next.
Mm-hmm.
Francis did say that they are immediately looking for a replacement. And I'm assuming their deadline's before summer training leading into October.
Yeah, that would make sense.
So the Krakens could be coached by somebody other than whoever's left. And mm-hmm. that way it'll give them time to kind of gain chemistry and whatnot.
Totally.
So the Kraken are also looking into getting a new offensive coordinator.
You called it.
Yep. Along with Haxtell, they added Paul McFarland to the chopping block. So no surprise there, I called it. Paul McFarland's the one who usually handles the offensive coordination. There's a lot of articles out there who are saying that Paul McFarland was just a power play guy, but he's offense too.
Hmm.
So, I mean, which is what we lacked. And yeah. Obviously, it was probably a no-brainer for Francis. He's like, this guy's got to go. And I gave like the full kind of just like not in-depth story, but what you guys really needed to know about Paul McFarland in our season finale episode, why he should be kicked off the team, but he's kicked off. So thank God.
Yeah. So if you ever want to go back and listen to that episode, yeah, I mean,
yeah, I go into it.
I think it'll be nice to have a fresh head coach, fresh offensive coordinator. I mean, we've talked about it before in that last episode, in that particular episode, that like we've got good offensive players. They just need better guidance.
Yeah. Yeah. So I actually added that, you know, I actually speculate that Francis knew he was going to let Haxtell go way before his official notice to the press.
Mm-hmm.
I think that because if you can remember, there's an article that was released by the Seattle Times where it read that Haxtell's job is safe until the remainder of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that was leaked that far in advance to let Haxtell know to start uprooting his family and moving somewhere else.
Mm.
Only just to give him like some time.
I'll give you to the end of the season.
Yeah, basically. Possibly, you know, giving Francis enough time to like find a reason not to fire Haxtell as well. So he's like, I don't really want to do it at the end of the season, but also it's like, hey, this is kind of cutting close and you team looks terrible.
Yeah. Give me one last, or not even give me one last chance, because it'd be more so like Francis being like, show me what you can do, and then he couldn't deliver. I mean, we talked about that in I think our previous episode of there are some coaches right now that are in the playoffs that haven't technically been signed by those or re-signed by those teams because essentially the teams are expecting a Stanley Cup. So it's just interesting how sometimes the expectations of the general managers can be so high before offering a new season for the coaches.
And like, I feel like NHL coaches are so recycled around.
Yeah.
Because when you, like, look at people's backgrounds and, like, merits, are like, this guy was in Toronto Maple Leafs. He was in the Florida Panthers and all that stuff. It's like, they just make their rounds all the way around until they find, like, a good spot.
I mean, yeah, I guess it's about, like, making good chemistry with the team. And, I mean, even then, yeah, the NHL coaches frequently also go to the AHL. Because I think, and I hope this is a segue, but the Coachella Firebirds coach is, and I could be mistaken, but I thought that I remember seeing that he actually used to be a Pittsburgh Penguins coach for quite a while.
Mm.
And so, which is interesting to me, because it's like, that's an NHL team, like a historical, and for the most part, like fairly good team. Like, they haven't been making it to the playoffs the last couple of years, but I mean, you know, they're a historical team. Everybody knows them. Again, they're fairly good. And then for this NHL coach to go and then coach AHL, I don't know what his transition journey looked like, but I'm just saying that, like, it's interesting that he went from NHL to AHL, and now he could be potentially being looked at again for NHL again. Or, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's being looked at. He's definitely being looked at by the Seattle Kraken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah.
Because you said that at the beginning that they were looking at multiple different people at the very beginning of the at the inaugural season.
Yeah, and Hextall wasn't their first choice. And they landed on him somehow.
It shows. I'm just kidding.
And yeah, it shows. So now moving forward, are there signs or hints or even names that, you know, that are pointing to the head coaching spot? Some of the guys that I found out, or there are two people, so that are cycling around right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's Dan Bylsma, so that's the Coachella Valley Firebirds head coach, mm-hmm. and then Jay Leach.
There's another one.
Who's that?
Tell me about Jay Leach first.
Jay Leach?
Yeah.
Okay. So, some are saying that Jay Leach could be promoted. Among the coaching staff, Jay Leach is one of the guys who did not get fired.
Oh, so he's on our current staff now.
He's on our staff right now.
Oh.
I bet this dude feels like he dodged a freaking bullet.
He's like, whoo!
Yeah.
That was close.
Hextall McFarland taking bullets to the left and right of him. He's like, oh my God. So yeah, Leach is a former defenseman in the NHL and has seen more ice time than McFumble and Hextall.
Interesting.
Yeah, so McFumble and Hextall actually were never NHL players.
Okay.
Yeah. But Jay Leach was. So that's a win.
So is he already. Is he the defensive coordinator right now?
Yep. So for some of you actually know, he is our defensive player or defensive coordinator. For somebody who actually played the NHL, he'd be able to add a lot more conviction and stuff like that to the team. So Leach right now is defensive specialist for a team. He managed to lead the Kraken to a top 10 defensive finish in the league, if you knew that.
Hmm.
What did I just say?
You said the top 10 defensive.
Defensive what?
League.
Who?
Stop. Don't quiz me.
What are you looking up?
I was trying to look up the name of that third guy, but...
Okay, look it up. Okay.
I'm listening.
Okay, fine. So he managed to lead the Kraken to a top 10 defense team in the league.
Here we go.
And get this. And the only top 10 defensive team in the league to not make the playoffs this season. Womp womp.
Interesting.
Yeah, we're the only ones. You know why? Offense.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why? Because of that.
Which
Paul McFumble.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because at the very beginning we were like, ooh, our defense is rough right now. And then once we pretty much were like, defense, you're getting rough. And then they fix themselves.
Yeah, they fixed it. And it was the beginning of the season, you know, dust off the cobwebs and stuff like that.
For sure.
Jay Leach has been a captain for some of his formal teams. So he knows what it's like to lead a team.
Oh, the captain.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, and then so the other candidate, Dan Bylsma,
mm-hmm.
another coach that the Kraken are looking at, also raving about, to be honest. It's like everywhere. He is the head coach of the Coachella Valley Firebirds. Coachella are having a really successful season right now. They're in the playoffs themselves.
This is the third year in a row.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
And I'm stoked for him. So Ron Francis and him go way back. I'm not sure how far back, probably prehistoric age, but they're friends. They've been friends for a long time. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of like the top reasons why people want him there, because of or how he coaches the Coachella Firebirds, as well as that, you know, him and Ron Francis know each other.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't think that the move would work. I don't think.
Do tell.
So I can understand that having Bilsma with the success he's had at Coachella Firebirds bring into the Kraken.
Mm-hmm.
But however, if we were going to take a shot, you know, and it falls through, Francis will have to fire his friend. Womp womp.
Like if he falls through in the future.
So if we end up hiring Dan, and it doesn't work out, he might lose a friend. Mm. Or it's like
hopefully they can maintain professionalism in that aspect.
They probably will, but it's like, dude, you fucked me over. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I think we keep Dan down at the junior levels so we can continue to mature our player pipeline down there and then continue success. So in my honest opinion, Leech would be the best choice.
I think that's also an interesting thing to point out is that right now, so one of the other things that Francis had said was kind of a setback in the season overall was that the pipeline kids weren't as ready as he wanted them to be as soon as he wanted them to be, which if you think about it in that aspect, that is all on, what's his last name? Bilsma.
B-Y-L-S-M-A.
Bilsma. So yeah, you know what I mean? So technically, if you're saying that one of the reasons why you weren't successful was because your pipeline kids weren't ready, well, again, your pipeline kids are coming from Coachella Firebirds, and that coach...
Well, it's an experience thing, though, because it's different from AHL to NHL. Yeah,
I get that, too, but I'm just saying. It could be, like, if you're playing devil's advocate, then you would say, why would you bring on a coach that technically isn't, you know... presenting ready players.
Yeah.
So.
But it's also, it's like, why would we get rid of Bilsma? Bilsma from the Coachella Valley Birds because we're seeing so much success.
Yeah.
Okay. Sweet. So we take the head coach from them, and then now what? We have to find his replacement, and then that falls through. And it just screws everything over.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I think maybe, yeah, keep what's good, and then, like, let's just fix what we can.
Yeah. And then to kind of just to my point for Jay Leech as well, it's like he moves up from defensive coordinator to head coach.
Mm-hmm.
He already has defensive mindset on his head. And he already knows how atrocious Paul McFumble was. So... they bring on a new offensive coordinator. They bring on a new defensive coordinator. That way, Leech will be able to provide schematics for his defense, and he already knows how he wants it to look.
Mm-hmm.
So that's easy there.
And he knows the guys.
He knows everyone, offense and defensive, all their tendencies, how they like anything, whatever.
Yeah.
But then when the offensive comes, he knows... like I was saying, he knows how bad it could be, and he could voice judgment and voice opinions to the new coordinator, the offensive coordinator, and what may or may not work, stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, in the end, I think that it'd be an easy choice because the boys know him. Jay Leech knows the boys. Easy transition for both sides.
Yeah.
They don't have to look too far at all.
The other person, is it okay if I bring it up now?
You can bring it up.
The other person that they were thinking about is Rod Brind'Amour.
Who's that?
The Carolina Hurricanes coach.
You know who also is on the hot seat? The Tampa Bay Lightning head coach.
What?
Because they just... What? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Got him? Holy shit.
Holy shit. Imagine.
Yeah, I like him.
He's going to be like, okay, Yanni Gourde, captain.
That'd be awesome.
Hey, I know you.
Yeah.
Captain.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Carolina head coach, who's that?
Yeah, Ron, like I said, Ron Brind'Amour. I was just trying to look it up now to see what the Hurricanes standing is right now.
Who's what's the Tampa Bay Lightning head coach? What's his name?
Let me look it up. And the Canes made it into round two. So
why would you get rid of?
Well, that's the thing, is that I told you, I was bringing it up earlier, is that, yeah, exactly. Why would you get rid of a coach that's literally in the playoffs? And it's like, because their expectation is for him to win the Stanley Cup.
Actually, something that I wanted to bring up, Jay Leach was also being interviewed to be a head coach last year for the new New York Rangers. Hello?
Mm-hmm. For the New York Rangers?
What did I just say?
That Jay Leach, John or Jay?
Jay.
Jay Leach was being interviewed for the New York Rangers.
When?
Last season.
Okay. You keep cutting in and out.
I know. I'm actively trying to.
Why don't you tell the viewers what you're trying to do?
I'm trying to find Tampa Bay's coach's name.
Oh, okay. So something I told you about.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
I think it's.
Because I saw that on. So I just recently found the KJR. It's a sports radio network in Washington. And they're talking about how he could be a potential one, too. So I wouldn't mind.
This Tampa Bay guy?
Yeah. So if this Tampa Bay guy comes to Seattle, sweet. I mean, we'll have a sweet defense.
John Cooper.
Yeah. Cool.
Oh, wait, no. Yeah, it is.
No.
No,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah. John Cooper. What are you reading?
Oh, yikes. He said something kind of.
You should just read it out loud, please.
Yeah. John Cooper made just a homophobic comment and said that. Yikes. He said, NHL coach suggests putting skirts on the goalies during press conference rant. And then it says this NHL coach actually got his apology right. I don't know. It's confusing. If you're interested in what he said, guys, just read what he's saying because, yeah. So all I'm saying is that, like, yeah, John Cooper is, like you said, a potential for the hot seat. But just interesting.
All right. Well, sorry about that, guys. We had to take a pause there just because John Cooper?
Mm-hmm.
John Cooper right now is under scrutiny for some comments that we don't want to talk about. But yeah, he's one of the people that, you know, that the Kraken are looking at. So, unfortunately, he has some baggage on him that probably don't want here in Seattle.
Yeah, just at the moment. I mean, he's got, on the silver lining aspect, he's got a lot of Stanley Cups on his name, or he's got, yeah. He has been, I don't know how long he's been with the Tampa Bay Lightnings, but yeah, he's definitely won plenty of Stanley Cups with the team, so he's made a name for himself, but you know,
he's like, he was just mad and he just said something off the cut, like off the rip, that was just unprovoked.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not trying to back him up or anything, and I'm not trying to be on his side, but you know, when your team and your legendary team at that, back-to-back Stanley Cup playoff champion or Stanley Cup champions, losing the first round to, you know, your state rivals, it's going to be a little bit difficult to keep back the tears, you know?
Yeah, and it seemed like the refs were just making some calls that were just unwarranted, I guess. Like, essentially, just the goalies were... I'm sorry.
The goalies were what?
The goalies were... Like, the refs were just calling, were saying, like, that's not a goal.
Oh, yeah. The goals or the goalies?
The goals, but I think it was because there was goal interference. Quote, quote, goal interference.
Against the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Yeah.
So more towards the Tampa Bay Lightning than the than the Panthers?
Yeah.
No.
So, and that was making the coach frustrated, but,
you think so the coach thinks that the game was probably rigged or something?
Probably. I mean,
they're going this against them.
Is not a Tampa Bay Lightning podcast.
No.
Sorry, Dad.
Although, yeah. He does like Tampa Bay, but I think he likes the Kraken more, to be honest.
We'll make him like him better.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, I mean, we talked about four different potential candidates for the head coach position. I mean, there's probably some other names that are floating in the pot that somebody has brought up, but we'll see who goes up, who becomes the head coach. Have you seen any names for offensive coordinator or no?
No, so there's not a whole lot of people coming out there. I think they're just mainly focused. The media, at least, is focused on trying to figure out who our head coach is at the moment.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then
the big shot.
Yeah, but honestly, it could be like Kermit the Frog, for all I care. As long as we have a good offense and a good defensive coordinator, Kermit the Frog could rally up the boys.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, like, it needs to be somebody, though, that does rally up the team. Like, I think it needs to be somebody that's knowledgeable on probably offensive and defensive. But I think it's really about being able to spark the fire underneath the team, because I think that's what Hakstol was lacking a little bit, is being able to push the team further and motivate them.
And I can't speak upon like Leach's voice or anything like that either, so Leach could be also lacking that as well.
Yeah, we don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
so it's really a big decision for Francis to make right now.
Yeah, sounds like the Tampa Bay Lightning guy could say stuff. That's very Floridian of him. And he's probably Canadian.
He is Canadian, which is actually, that's weird then.
Yeah. But. Well, Florida's getting to him. So what's next? So now the coaching staff took a hit, and we sit and wait for the players to take hits as well. So lots of speculation out there on the players for sure. There's a long list of unrestricted free agents and the team that on the team that include Schultz, Tatar, and Belmar. There's a smaller list of restricted free agents on the team that include Kyler Yamamoto.
So unrestricted meaning that
anybody could pick him
up. Anybody can pick him up. So they just haven't signed yet.
Yeah, and then the restricted one is
that
the team that they're currently on needs to make a move. Otherwise, I'm not sure what the legality is behind that.
Yeah, okay, that rings a bell.
Yeah, so of course, you know, Kyler Yamamoto is, I think that they're not going to sell him. There's no way. His first year transition with us wasn't really good. I mean, it could be.
It was pretty good. It wasn't terrible.
I was expecting a little bit more, to be honest, just because he played along the lights of McDavid.
I mean, again,
the Oilers.
Again, though, you have to remember that this entire season we were having a rough coach.
Yeah.
So,
which I was going to bring up. You know, it could have been Hakstol and McFarlane at the same time, kind of ruining this guy's career. So, hopefully some obvious players leave the lineup, because for sure they're going to add Shane Wright to the roster next season. So they're probably going to get rid of Belmar for sure to make up room for Shane Wright. And I don't know. We'll see. Francis also talked about how the Kraken have a lot of cap space. So cap space meaning money that is allotted for the team to sign players. Seattle Kraken have a sizable cap space right now, $23 million.
Whoa.
And could look to sign unrestricted players for the following season, this 24-25 season. We have 16 out of 23 active players right now. That does not include the unrestricted and restricted players. So whoever's on the list, they're not named in that 16. So we could add, we could re-add Yamamoto, mm-hmm. make it 17, and then.
Wow, that's a lot. There's a lot of players like missing.
Was it seven?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, no.
I have to use my fingers.
Seven.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. So, what we need are good offensive players to complete our forward lineup and just rebuild our forward lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Because McCann and Bjorkstrand need some help, some scoring help at least.
Yeah.
Matty needs to get his shit together. So
I think, again.
Yeah, he needs to really, really step it up a notch. And I think you're the one who was telling me how he was a little bit more hungry to get back on the ice and improve.
Yeah, he was. Again, though, I just want to preach it that it's quite a possibility that Hakstol wasn't giving the motivation and the support that was needed by Matty. You know, maybe Matty needed more and he wasn't getting it. Matty is cognizant that he needs to make changes. And yeah, maybe we'll see changes with a new coach.
Yeah. Yeah. Tolvi, if re-signed, he also needs to get his shit together. I know he was also a goal scorer, but yeah. not enough to, you know.
He's a mediocre player.
Pretty much. I mean, he's like riding the coattails of success on McCann and Bjorkstrand. So yeah, hopefully when we re-sign Yamamoto, he'll be a 20-plus goal scorer next season. And a lot of moving parts happening. So there's a lot of news to be had around the Kraken world and what it's going to look like for next season.
Mm-hmm.
And that being said, it probably won't change. During the season, there's probably still going to continue to be changes.
Yeah.
So
there always is.
Mm-hmm.
Up until the deadline, but
I just hope that the Kraken stop calling up the Coachella guys.
Why?
Because it's AHL level. I know that, you know, Shane Wright could be, you know, when we call him up, you know, he makes a really good difference.
Mm-hmm.
But the only reason why we're calling up people is because we need them.
And because we don't have enough
of illnesses, injury, yeah. All that stuff. Hopefully that we don't call up Coachella Firebird players and stuff like that. So.
It's interesting perspective. I wonder how many times other teams are calling up their own AHL team. Like, are they calling them up as much as we are?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I would speculate probably a little bit less, but still are doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, with what you said, you know, it sounds like, I mean, I'm assuming, though, that with the restricted and unrestricted from last season, that made up the seven players that are not in the signed category. But, yeah, there was just enough players that were out on injury and out on illness enough of the time at the same time that, like you said, they had to call up people. But
yeah, like...
Yeah.
But I was going to bring up, like, if Justin Schultz leaves, what would that happen? I'm sure Justin Schultz will leave just so they could add Riker Evans to the lineup.
Isn't Justin Schultz an alternative? An alternate?
That's Jaden Schwartz.
Ugh, I always get them mixed up. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I think that that's the right move for the Kraken to move Riker up, because Riker, they actually called Riker back to Coachella Valley, if you knew that, because they're in the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
And Riker Evans is an NHL player. We already know he is.
He is now.
He basically is now, and they're getting an NHL level player in the playoffs in the AHL.
Yeah.
So it's going to be awesome. So
it was interesting. I don't remember if we talked about this in another episode, but Vince Dunn was like, yeah, he's a hard read, but he's really respectful, and he always seems to work hard and learn more.
Well, that's it. He's a very introverted cat, or...
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, we're still trying to get a read off of him.
Yeah, I was like, it just was funny and interesting.
Yeah, but he plays like an animal. Well, opposite of an animal, I say he plays like a robot. So a very, very good robotic, like in the sense that he doesn't make too many mistakes and he knows what to do. So
yeah,
I expect him to be on the team next year, as well as Shane Wright and who else? I think that's it for, and then re-sign Yamamoto.
Hopefully re-sign Tatar.
Ooh, Tatar is good.
I'd love to see that as a re-sign. Who else did you say? Belmar, Schultz, and then?
There are a couple other players that I couldn't dig up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but, or even tried worth mentioning.
I wouldn't mind re-signing Belmar, but he was out for a really long time during the middle of the season for some reason.
Oh, no. Belmar is kind of like a gypsy. He moves around a lot.
Oh, does he? I mean, he was with the Oilers for quite a while. Yeah. I think he played for the Tampa Bay Lightning for quite a while.
Just have him do whatever. Continue being a gypsy.
And like, moving around.
Yeah. We could even give him to the San Jose Sharks or the Anaheim Ducks. And
what?
He'll be their top player. I don't know. I really like Belmar, and that wasn't a shot at him at all. It was just more of like, I want to add more scoring depth, and I want to add, I was going to say veteran, but he is a veteran player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I could buy my own words.
I mean,
eat my own words.
I'm curious to see if there would be anybody that they would trade, you know, this postseason. I know, again, you and I have talked a lot about really big names, but I just don't know if that would even happen because, again, those big names are usually pretty centered to those teams.
I have a couple of speculations
mm-hmm.
on who we should take, to be honest. One of them being on the Vegas Golden Knights.
Oh.
Just for our cap space, because we have a lot of cap space.
Mm-hmm.
And that cap space is meant, and it's separated into three categories. The $23 million is divvied up into attackmen, defensemen, and then a goaltender. Goaltenders.
Okay.
So they could dip into either category.
Did Joey resign?
I think he's still got a deal. I think he's still on his deal.
Oh, okay. I thought he only signed a 1-year contract. But
did he?
I thought he did.
We'd have to look that up.
Yeah. For everyone. Okay. Okay. I'm curious.
Because there's no shot that he's leaving.
There is no way.
Although he did start losing his god juice, his little mojo there.
Yeah, but then again, at the end, he came back at it.
Mm-hmm.
So. You win some, you lose some, man.
Yeah, and they were honestly, maybe, possibly
a major reason why they were having a winning streak was because of him.
Well, yeah, but then also a major thing is that they burn out our goalies.
They do.
So it's like,
see, that's another thing I'd be very curious about seeing for a new head coach. I mean, a lot of the times, from what I see, like, again, we don't typically watch a lot of other games, a lot of teams, but I feel like they keep their primary goaltender in for games and games and games and games, whereas like occasionally we'll do 2 games primary, 1 game alternate, 2 games, and I feel like that's kind of nice.
We'd have to take like a page out of the Bruins's like goalie setup
mm-hmm.
because they have Allmark and Swayman.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And they're both
Swayman.
Did they win today? Or yesterday?
I don't know. I'd have to look later.
No. Wait. Yesterday they won. Or no. Toronto won. Anyway, they have a really good goal like tandem going.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to get that. Speaking about goalies, actually. Did you know Grubauer is in Germany right now with his German hockey team practicing?
What?
I'll show you the Instagram. And for any of you who have Instagram, go on to Grubauer's
that's so cool.
Instagram. He has his Deutsch uniform on.
Oh, that's so cool.
I'll show you after this.
Okay.
But yeah, that's kind of all I got right now. So coaching changes and
potentially team changes.
Potentially team changes, and that's pretty much what's next on our list. So we'll see what the team does. Because they're probably preoccupied with trying to figure out our coaching situation.
Yeah, I wonder if a lot of the players that were saying, like, I'm leaving if he stays, I wonder if they're feeling like a breath of relief of like, whew, my bluff. I'm just kidding. But, you know, like, I wonder.
Yeah. So there's another thing on KJR Instagram. So KJR, the radio station in Washington, Eberle spoke about that article piece, about how it wasn't an ultimatum at all. It was like, if he leaves, or if he leaves, I'm staying, or if he's staying, I'm leaving, mm-hmm. kind of deal. And I don't know, Eberle might be backtracking his words there for a bit, but I'll show you what it was.
Interesting.
And yeah, so look it up, guys. KJR 98.9 or something like that, Seattle sports station, so go check that out. You guys could interpret that however you want, but it sounds like Eberle is trying to make sure that he, you know, verbal judos it a little bit.
Oh, and also with the potential changes of the team, our unwanted potential change, John Forslund was saying he thinks that Eberle is going to be goalie. Or not goalie.
Holy whoa, shit.
That'd be crazy.
No way.
So sorry. He thinks that Eberle will be coach.
I'm sorry.
Captain.
Goalie and a coach?
Brayson.
Goalie?
Guys,
coach and
him?
Captain? John Forslund, tell us your words. Secrets.
I'm sorry.
So,
Eberle's just changing up his roles. That's what he's doing.
So, who's he taking over for? For a goalie?
No.
Okay, if Jordan were to take over for a goalie, who would he take over for? Obviously, Drager. Grubauer. Oh, he's also on the unrestricted, by the way.
Okay. But isn't he on the Coachella Firebirds?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. Because okay. He gets called up.
Mm-hmm. And he's a really good goalie, too.
I only watched him for two, and I was like, eh.
Well, the games that he played this year with us, he looked pretty, pretty solid. But that's what Joey looked like when he wasn't playing at all. So, they had... You know, they're real, real fresh, and they were ready. They were mm-hmm. locked in to play. So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but
yeah, John Forslund has his vote with Eberle. I have my vote with Yanni Gourde. And you have your vote with?
Yanni Gourde.
Yeah, Yanni Gourde. So that's 2-1, Forslund. So take that.
Maybe we can say, come on, Forslund, come to the Gourde side.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he did bring up a couple arguments where he's like, most of his leadership is a lot of times off the ice. It's very subtle. He was saying how Jordan Eberle isn't like, he has very subtle, you know, change, subtle, like, good stuff in his game. So he's kind of, I don't know. There was something in there that he, like, connected everything. So, yeah. I don't know. John Forslund, if you're right, I hope you're not. It's just, I don't know. I mean, if Jordan Eberle were to become a captain, it'd be good in a sense that he still has that fire, and hopefully he still has that fire and drive to shoot for a Stanley Cup, because he does not have one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of the thing where it's like, somebody who doesn't have it
wants it.
Yeah, just wants it super bad. So,
but maybe having like a legit captain will actually create some like solid foundation for the team rather than having multiple alternates. Because, I mean, I guess Jordan Eberle would be a good potential second candidate for it, but you know, maybe we just need a captain in general.
Mm-hmm. Well, not just any captain.
Yanni Gourde.
Yanni Gourde. Exactly. Gordo. Which I found out that means fat in Spanish.
Yes.
Does it really?
Yeah.
How would you say that in a sentence?
Mi gato es gordo.
Mi gato es gordo. What gato?
Cat.
Yeah.
That's what Duolingo taught me.
Duolingo.
Anyways,
that's all I got for everyone. If you guys are listening out there, feel free to reach us out on Instagram and X.
comment on this episode.
Yeah, comment on this episode. Like, seriously, we don't care what you say to us. If it's mean, please don't type anything mean. If it's something that you want to hear, we will definitely put it in the lineup. Other than that, until next time, squids, don't give up the deep.